In Acts chapter 19, Paul shows up in the city of Ephesus. And he doesn't show up to preach a big event at first. There's not a bunch of healings or miracles when Paul first shows up in Ephesus. The first thing he does is to go and find the small group who are the followers of Jesus. More accurately, it's the followers of John the Baptist. These people heard his teachings and received his baptism, but didn't know what the Holy Spirit was and were just incomplete in some of their knowledge and practice. So Paul shows up and he gently corrects them and guides them, teaches them about Jesus, and they receive the Holy Spirit. That's what happens at the beginning of Acts chapter 19. The Spirit forms a few people who go out and teach others. All that happens before Paul gets up in front of any crowd and teaches or preaches. But he eventually gets to that. In Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, we could talk here about Paul's rejection in the synagogue and what it meant to go from preaching to the Jews to teaching and lecturing to the Gentiles. We could talk about teaching where you're accepted and not rejected. But the part that gets me in this passage, 2 years, not 2 weeks, not two big revivals or special events, 2 years of daily teaching. Luke uses the word for what Paul does here that has to do with reasoning or dialoguing with. This isn't sermons or speeches Paul's giving. He's talking to people. Every day, he's showing up in a rented hall, probably in the heat of the afternoon when he could get time there. Other people are resting, and Paul is patiently having conversations and forming a new community. I don't know about you, when I think of Acts, I think of movement. I think of geography, going from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria to all the ends of the earth. I think of travel locations and going to Ephesus and Corinth and Antioch, all these cities. And I think of big, spectacular things, preaching to thousands of people and witnessing their baptisms, healing people, miracles, big, flashy things. That's what I think of when I think of the book of Acts. But here, he just stays put for 2 years. So just because this gets half a verse, don't skip over it. For 2 years, Paul does this, day after day, conversation after conversation, until Luke tells us something that's almost unbelievable. All the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. So Paul stayed put, but the gospel didn't. Paul didn't have to go everywhere, but the people that he taught did. The Spirit took what was formed deeply in one place and spread it widely all over Asia. That is the ripple effect. Faithful presence, steady formation, Spirit-filled people carrying the message farther than any one person could go. That same pattern has played out in every generation of the church. The Spirit forms a few people deeply, and then the gospel spreads widely through them. That's not just how it worked in Ephesus, that's how it has worked here. When I think about Paul showing up every day and teaching and lecturing. I think of people here who have done that kind of steady work, even in this church family. People who believe that deep formation is what makes wide impact possible. So this morning we have remembered two of them, Robert S. and Catherine Bell. They believed in what Paul did in Ephesus, that the gospel doesn't always grow through speed, but sometimes it just grows through staying. Robert Bell became an elder of this church in 1942 when he was 45 years old. He served in that role for the rest of his life, four decades. Four decades. That's a lot of elders' meetings. Can we just, on behalf of elders and ministers everywhere, admire the patience and tenacity of that? He was a businessman with a full schedule, and yet he always made time for church work. And friends said he never considered himself too important to make a visit or write a note or encourage a minister. Robert and Catherine served side by side. His leadership may have been more visible, but hers was equally as important. There are many ripple effects because of this family. At ACU, in the city of Dallas, but here in this church. One of those effects was the Preston Road School of Preaching. Started in the 1960s by the minister at the time, Eldred Stevens, and Brother Bell, an elder, they believed that God was calling them to use this church's resources and reputation to train ministers. And so they did. They started that school of preaching. Some of those students were college age, and some of them were finding ministry as a second career, and they hadn't received training before, and so they would come here and be trained to serve churches. And if you Google Preston Road School of Preaching, you will find hundreds of bios of ministers, some of whom are still serving in churches, who were trained right here. And even into the 2000s, in a different location with a different name, that school was still training and encouraging ministers. So an idea in the 1960s, and almost four decades of training ministers, churches today still being served and led because Robert and Catherine supported a school to train ministers. That is a ripple effect. They loved supporting mission work and training ministers because they believed, like Paul, that if you form people deeply, the message will travel farther than you ever can. One time in some comments about titles, Robert Bell said, "I'm happy to be known as Mr. Bell. I would be prouder to be introduced as Brother Bell." That's the heart of it. He's not chasing status or recognition. He was chasing faithfulness. And like Paul's 2 years in that hall of Tyrannus, Robert and Catherine's decades here created ripples that are still moving. Mission efforts they supported are still bearing fruit. Preachers that they trained and encouraged are still doing work. In fact, Brother and Sister Bell survived, well, we might just say enjoyed the preaching of the first 9 of our 15 ministers here. In fact, there's a compilation of his writings that I use for a lot of the research for this day. And there's an introduction in that book written by Hewlin Jackson, our fourth preacher. And it's this glowing tribute to a man who was one of his elders. And in that, Hewlin Jackson said about Brother Bell, "Not many could love preachers more than he." Brother and Sister Bell were here to watch this go from a concrete prairie home right here facing Preston Road to a temporary frame building to a proper church building that we're sitting in today and even to the narthex add-on that most of you walked through when you came here. Even this morning, as the family sits among us, they're surrounded by the ripple effects, the quiet evidence of a life formed deeply and used widely by God. So really, when we honor the bells, we're honoring the way the Spirit works, steady and patient and faithful over time. Because the same Spirit who filled those 12 disciples in Ephesus is still forming disciples here. Disciples whose ripples will reach people we may never meet. Every one of us is living in the wake of other people's ripples. Someone prayed for you before you even knew their name. Someone taught your class, mentored your faith, funded a ministry, or kept a church healthy so you could grow up in it. We are the recipients of those ripples. Ripples of faith that was formed deeply and used widely. And those ripples are not meant to stop with us. The same Spirit who formed those disciples in Ephesus, who worked through Paul for 2 years in that little lecture hall, the same Spirit who shaped brother and sister Bell into faithful servants is still at work in us. 86 years in, this church is still a living ripple from their faith and from the faith of those before them. And that means the next generation's faith depends in part on our faithfulness, who we teach, who we encourage, who we support, and where we choose to stay rooted. You don't have to be a preacher to be part of that. You don't have to start a movement. You just have to show up faithfully. Use what God has given you and trust the Spirit to multiply it. About 2 years ago, I went to ACU's library to review a bunch of history files from this church. There's architectural drawings and old flyers and legal files, and they have Brother Bell's papers there. In that, I found a few things. An order of service, which, you know, whoops, we're not following that today. Sorry, Brother Bell. There's a brief history of this church that he wrote. But what I was drawn to was a handwritten devotional talk. It's undated. My guess is from sometime in the 70s. And it seems as though he's giving this talk to kind of a group of the most active members of the church. That's who he's writing for. And in that, he lists what he believes are the positive qualities of this church. He says, we're blessed with intelligence and ability and worldly goods. He says we have a reputation for being sound in the faith. He says we have some of the best preachers. So, I don't know, he never got to see me preach, so he may have reassessed that. He says we have a reputation for training and supporting missionaries well. And finally, he says we have the ability to do almost anything we set our heart to do. And then he lists one challenge. He says we have a large membership with busy schedules that can make attendance and volunteering a challenge. He goes on, though, to talk about why he makes it a priority to be here. Let me read these words to you. He's talking to the church here. He says, I love you. I love to be with you, to talk to you, to worship with you, and just to see you outside of business. You are my social life. And then toward the middle of the third page, he just stops writing. I don't know for what reason. He's done, and he just writes this one word. Unfinished. That's it. That's the message. The work of Brother and Sister Bell is unfinished. Our work is unfinished. So that's the question for us today. Whose faithfulness formed us? And what is the work we are doing to send those ripples forward to sustain and encourage the faith of the next generations? Let's stand and sing.